Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 7, if you will, the Gospel of John in chapter 7. And thank you so much for the special and song, Pastor. Appreciate that. And do appreciate the hymns and the singing. It's quite vibrant and lively, and I love that. It's full of life from the Spirit. And John chapter 7 is where we are. John chapter 7, find verse 37. In just a moment, we'll show our public respect for God's Word by standing. But we'll let you find that and give you just a moment there. Do you have that? John chapter 7, verse 37. Let's stand if you're able to. If not, we certainly do understand. Look at verse 37, read down to verse 39. But before we do, let me just mention in context here, this is the final day of the Feast of Succoth. On this final day, the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam, take a golden pitcher and dip it into the water. And then take that pitcher full of water and lead a procession of people to the temple. And they would sing a psalm. There's a couple that they suggest potentially that they would have sung. And then when they get to the temple, they have that pitcher of water and they pour it out as an outpouring or pouring out offering unto the Lord. And it's after that moment, we believe, when Jesus stood and said what we're going to read tonight. John 7, verse 37 says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." The title of the message this evening is Filled to Overflowing. Filled to Overflowing. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I ask for your guidance, your direction. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd fill me and each listener here and help us to understand a greater fullness and a walk with you. And dear Father, I pray that you would give, as you did throughout the book of Acts, the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit outpoured. Lord, you just pour out your Spirit right here on us, on this church, in this meeting. And Lord, help us to recognize your presence and your working in our hearts and yield to you. So Lord, we commit ourselves and yield ourselves to you even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There's a very buff guy came up to me and he said, "Hey, you want to get in shape? And there's a workout and I want to invite you to it." And I said, "Okay." He said, "It's only 12 minutes and it's easy." He lied. And I went there and I said, "Well, it sounds kind of cool. It's called Max T3. And anything with letters and numbers after it are really cool." And so I found out Max is short for maximized. T was for torture, and it was to the third power. And we're heading there, and it's going to be outside. It's going to be on pavement in Tennessee. It's on a Saturday morning, about 8-something in the morning, but it's already about 90 degrees. And high. It was just one of those August mornings or July mornings that were just so intense. Humidity's high. And I didn't have a workout mat, but I had one of those little flimsy beach towels. It was like this, you know. And so I brought that to lay down on and do the workout. My wife's dropping me off. She's going to go take the car and go to an air-conditioned mall and be there while I'm working out and torturing myself. And I reach for my water bottle, and it's not there. And then I said, "Oh, I don't have my water. And there's no water out here. There's no water supply." And she said, "Here, take mine." Hers was pink. I don't want to show up and they go, "Oh, really nice water bottle." You know, I don't want that. And so I took a swig real quick and then I just took off. "I'll be fine." Well, they did, like, the warm-up was exhausting. You know, it was like a half-mile run and all of this stuff. And I'm like, man, exhausted. We haven't even started. And he said, okay, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do push-ups. I said, okay, that's not too bad. But then we're going to do lunges, but jumping lunges, which are a lot harder. And then we're going to do burpees. I was like, I've never done a burpee. Babies do it, so I can do it. And so he's going through all these different things, but you have to do it as fast as you can, 20 seconds on and the 20 seconds off. And that's no big deal. But when you start doing it as fast as you can, it's a different deal. So he said, ready, begin. And he goes, 20 seconds, and we're doing, you know, push-ups or whatever, jumpy jacks, whatever, jumpy lunges and all these things. And we're doing it as fast as we can. And okay, off for 20 seconds. The 20 seconds off went faster. It does. I don't know how, but it went faster. And then we go on and off. And we do each one, you know, three sets. And then we go to the next exercise. Well, the 12 minutes came to an end. He says, okay, we're done. We're going to take a break. A good break. Man, I'm ready for a break. I'm already thirsty. I can tell my mouth is getting dry. I don't have the water. He said, we'll take a break for 60 seconds. The man did not know what a break was. So it wasn't enough time to go in and get water or anything like that. So he started the 12-minute routine again, everything again. And it was just intense. By the second 12-minute routine, I am just dying. I'm barely doing the exercises. Okay, we're going to take a break. No lie, for 60 seconds. And we did it a third time. It was intense. I'm the third time, I'm doing like girl push-ups. And I'm doing like three of them, you know. And it is just so embarrassing. I'm not doing the things properly. I'm so very, very dry. Can't hardly swallow. And all of this. And then he says, okay, we'll take a break. And anybody who wants to, we'll do a bonus round. I'm like, no. And the bonus wasn't full 12 minutes. It was just 1 minute of full on whatever it was exercise that he came up with. So we did all that. And then I went for the water. And it was amazing all throughout the day. I couldn't get enough water to drink. I could never feel like my thirst was really quenched. The second day, I was weak. I was still dizzy. I was still recovering from being dehydrated, and I'm trying to drink, and I still didn't feel like I really ever got fully hydrated even the second day. The third day, I still was still pretty ill. I just was so intensely thirsty for that water, and I didn't want anything else. We need to have that level of thirst for the Spirit of God to flow through us in power. Do you have that thirst and that desire for God to do that type of work? This passage, as we're going to see, is talking about the Holy Spirit. And I believe His ministry and His quality of life and His power working and living through us. And how is that we can be filled to overflowing, really experience the fullness of the Spirit? Make that prayer, that song that we sing, fill me now, your prayer right this moment as God is speaking to us through His Word. Let's notice three truths about this passage of Scripture. First of all, let's recognize this, that the water speaking of here and spoken of here is representing the Holy Spirit. The water represents the Holy Spirit. The water represents the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as he said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, when the Lord Jesus would be glorified and ascend to heaven, then he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, at the day of Pentecost. And of course, he had not come, but he says when he does so, he will come and you can be filled with him and full of power. And as we recognize this, we need to see a couple of things about this water. First of all, notice the quantity of water that it's talking about. It says in verse 38, it says, out of his belly, in the latter part of verse 38, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Not just one water stream, not just even one river, but multiple rivers of water. Now, this is incredible. I've been to several places where there's a pretty good-sized river, across the Ohio River. Been to down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon where there's the Colorado River, and there's a lot of people that have actually died in the Colorado River. They're hiked down there, they have their pack on, they're hot, they take it off, They think, well, I'm going to jump in the Colorado and cool off. They're good swimmers, even excellent swimmers. They're swept away, and many have died in the Colorado River. So violent, so aggressive. And then I've been to Park Rapids, Minnesota, just north of there to the headwaters of the mighty Mississippi. I, ladies and gentlemen, have forged across the mighty Mississippi, all 20, 25 feet, and I'd roll up my pant legs to my knee, and that was it, and we went across, and even our little dog, Trixie, she made it across to all 8 pounds of her, and we went across, but you know how that headwaters are, and perhaps you've been there or not, but as it continues, you get another stream, and another tributary, and another river, and it just keeps going, and now there's the mighty Mississippi. Here is, it's not just the mighty Mississippi. It's not just the Ohio. It's not just the Colorado River. But it says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. A quantity that's beyond what we can even comprehend. You know, God wants to do a work in and through us that's beyond ourselves, that's supernatural, that you can't explain, that's not within your little realm of saying, this is what I can do. It's a constant river as long as there's a constant source, and we are simply the channel. Not only notice the quantity of river, quantity of water, but notice the quality of water. This is living water. Look in verse 38. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, have you ever had really bad water, and you know, you didn't want to drink it, and it's nasty or whatever, and you're like, oh, no, thank you. But when you get the good, clear spring water or the purified water, just like this here, and you can take this water and it's clean and it's pure and it's good, it's living water. It gives you the life that is necessary. This type of water is able to help other people. Just like when Jesus went to the well, as he said, I must needs go through Samaria to be able to meet the Samaritan woman, who had been through everything, who had been rejected by so many, and certainly other Israelites. They would never even speak, let alone ask water. And he goes to the well, and he asks her for water, and she said, how can you ask me, you being a Jew and from Israel, and I'm a Samaritan? And he asked her, and he says, well, if you had known who's here today, you would ask me of water. She said, you don't have anything to dip down into the well. How can, and it's deep. He said, no, 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 I'm not talking about this water. She said, are you better than our father Jacob? he knew Jacob. He provided the well for Jacob. And yes, he was better than Jacob. And he says, no, 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 I don't have this type of water. You drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. I can give you living water that you're not going to thirst again. Amen. You drink it, and in it, in you springs up a well of water. And now after she hears this and recognizes that he is the Messiah and she comes to faith, what does she do? She goes, and this Samaritan woman that would have been rejected because all the marriages and all the divorces and all the living outside of the bounds of marriage and all of these things is a spokesman, is a witness for the Lord Jesus, and many come to faith as a result of her. Here is a lady, here is a woman, and as she does so, there's nothing in and of herself. She has no water supply. She is thirsty. She is weary. She is coming simply to the fact that she doesn't have anything to offer, but the Lord Jesus gave her living water. Now, through you, we have nothing in ourselves to offer. But when we are filled with the Spirit, the quantity of God's power and his Spirit working through us, but then he can help us win other people to the Lord Jesus. Do you realize God can use you? He said, but I've not been to Bible college. It does not matter. I've not done the 13-week soul winnings course. It's okay. You can still do it, but that's okay. I don't have a great personality, or I don't know all the verses, and I just struggle in speaking, and it's okay. Do you realize this, that God can use you? And all of the things that we come up with as our excuses, I don't speak well, or I'm not powerful, or I'm not wise, or I'm not knowledgeable. God lists all those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he says, I'm not called the mighty and the noble, but I've called those that are base and low and have nothing to offer. Because why? Because that no flesh should glory in my presence. God wants to channel through you to the others. Here, this water represents the Holy Spirit. Next, let's notice this. The invitation here is for the power of the Holy Spirit. The invitation is for the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at his invitation in chapter 7 again, in verse 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Let's put it in three parts. If any man thirst, that's speaking of desire. Let him come unto me, that's drawing nigh to God, and drink, that's dependence. What God wants you to do is to desire, to draw near, and depend upon the Spirit of God to get and gain access to the power that he is wanting to do and work through you. First of all, he says, if any man thirst, what a great way to describe a desire. There's hardly anything else that would really quantify and really describe a strong desire than thirst. If you've been out working and you're thirsty, do you go for the hot coffee? Now, I'm for hot coffee twice today. I like coffee and I needed it. But there are certain times I'm going, I'm just thirsty. And so I had to drink. And nothing quenches your thirst like good old water. And I'm going to do what, you know, preachers love to do right in front of you. I'm going to drink out of the water bottle. You know what? There's nothing like that. I remember reading a story in the book Cowboy Boots of Darkest Africa, Bill Rice II, and he talks about he was already suffering from malaria. He didn't realize that this early morning. He was there and one group of natives. The missionary was there with another group of natives. They're out in the bush. They had to hunt for their food. And so they're going to that pygmy village I was telling you about. But before they were heading there, they had to go on a hunting day to be able to get food supply. And so he was thirsty. He felt sick. He felt weak. He asked one of the natives, can you go to the river and get me some water? And so he comes back a few minutes later and he has a dark drink. He said, no, I don't want coffee. I want water. He said, Juana, this is water. He dumped it out. There's no way he was going to drink that disease-infested water. So he was very thirsty. The team separated, and they went on the hunt. He saw a bush buck some 300 yards away. And there's no way he could steady his gun except for putting it on a rock. And he sighted the deer, and with one squeeze of the trigger, the buck fell. And the other team heard the one shot, realizing that they got the game. And so they came over. And as soon as the missionary, Paul, saw Bill, Bill said to Paul, Paul, where's the water supply? And Paul was the jokester. And he said, no, we don't have it. He said, Paul, I'm serious. I'm sick. Something's bad, wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. Where's the water? He said, Bill, I'm not joking this time. We don't have it. Both party thought the other party had the water supply. They're some 2.5-3 hours from camp. They're out in the middle of a very thick bush. And we found out later, Bill Rice did, that the missionary had sent two natives, as soon as he heard that, to run to get water supply. It was so bad, so thick, they got lost and they didn't make it back to them. So they said to Bill, we're gonna head back to camp. We're gonna walk there. But you're going to have to stay with us. We can't all stay out here in the jungle and die. And so you just try to keep up. If you can't, we'll come back for you. And so he tried his best to stay up. He would walk with them. And then as he'd get fatigued and such, he would draw back. And then he'd pick up the pace and try to stay up again. He says his lips were dry and parched and cracked and bleeding. He was swollen. He said he couldn't swallow, his like cotton mouth, and he was had the effects of malaria and other things that are going on in his body. And he said he could almost feel his internal organs shut down. And as he's going, he would walk along and then drag behind again and try to keep up and run up as best he could. And he thought, what would I give for just a glass of water? He'd keep walking, and all of a sudden he'd hear a thud. And he'd wake up and he realized he had fallen to the ground. He picked himself up one leg at a time and he tried to keep up. And he said, what would I give for a glass of water? I'd give my six shooter. I'd give my rifle. I would give my car back home. I'd give my house if I still had it. It had sold it to be able to go on the trip. And he said, I would give anything for that water. He had an intense desire, an obvious thirst for that water that would give him that life and certainly sustain his life. Do you have that type of desire? And is it a desire for God's glory? It says in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, but they that which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. We need, as the Spirit of God does, to lift up the Lord Jesus. We want the power of the Holy Spirit for God's glory, for the Lord Jesus, and to lift up him and his cause. Do you have that desire? Are you desiring to see people saved? Are you desiring God's power and his Spirit's strength in helping you to be able to see these people saved? Do you have that desire? Not only does he say, if any man thirsts, he says, let him come unto me. This is to draw nigh. Come to me. If I said to you, hey, come here, you would come over closer, or you call me, I would come over closer to you. And then we would be able to be a little bit more intimate or a little bit more focused in our conversation. The idea is to come to the right source. The right source, not any other type of source, but the proper source, the pure source. Going to church growing up, we would take all of our milk jugs and clean them out, and any jugs that would be able to be filled with water. And we would, after church, we'd go to this artesian spring, and we would get it there, and this water would just be constantly flowing. We'd get the jug filled up and put the cap on, and we get the next one. I usually was under there because I'm getting wet and everything, and getting it and handing it to my dad or my mom, getting the next one, and all right, where's the next one? They're all filled. And we could go to that source and just have enough to be able to fill our water bottles, but it was so pure, it was so good. Are you going to other sources? You know, there's other things that can help try to quench your thirst, like Gatorade. It's called the thirst quencher, isn't it? But you know what? There's high fructose corn syrup, and there's all kinds of other stuff, and all the doctors in here will tell you it's bad for you. So don't drink that. Come to the right source. Get the water. Get the pure stuff, the good stuff. Are you going to other things? You know, there's only so much time that you could spend on this thing right here. There's only so much that you can spend on a device or a computer or all of these things. Are you going to the world? Are you going to the Facebook? Are you going to social media for advice? It's amazing to me how I look at Christians and say, what should I do? And they're asking this spiritual in-depth question, and they're asking on social media. That's not where the spiritual giants are just going to raise up and help you out, okay? You're going to get anything and everything. There might be some pastors and there might be some walking with the Lord that may pipe in, but you're going to get anything and everything. Don't go to that. Come to the right source and say to your pastor, hey, what do you think about this? And what kind of good book would you recommend to be able to read about this source? And don't get mixed up in the wrong type of sources and the wrong type of thinking in today's time. Are you going to the world for advice? You know what the world is trying to actually figure out nowadays is that biblical principles work. Yeah. Generosity, sowing and reaping, they're like, give it forward. You know what? Where did we hear that before? Right. Huh. You know what? It's trying to take it, but it's trying to adapt it. And the reality is this. This is the right source right here. And the Spirit of God has all that you need. Psalm 87 says in verse 7, all my springs are in thee. I love that. All my source, everything, this spring-fed water is all in thee. You know, I love going down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon, not the Grand Canyon National Park, but it's a part of that system, and it's called the Havasupai. It means people of the blue-green water. And it's just literally turquoise water. It's beautiful. And it's flowing all year round, even in the middle of this canyon and desert, because it's spring-fed. And it's constantly flowing. It's gorgeous and it's beautiful, and there's these beautiful waterfalls, and it's constantly having this source there because it's the right source. Are you drawing nigh to the right source, or have you been getting involved in the wrong type of information, the wrong type of sources for counseling? Would you come unto the Lord, draw nigh to him? But then it says, and drink. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I could talk all night about H2O and how important it is, and you need to drink so much, and your body is made up of whatever, 80% or whatever, of water, and I could go through all the facts, and I can go through all the stats, and I can do this, and I could talk about the water all day long, but it does me no good in the water bottle. What do I have to do? I have to drink. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to do it again, all right? I'm going to drink in front of you. That was really good. That really was. Should I do it again? Okay, now let me ask, when I drank, did that help you? You say, no, it made me more thirsty. Would you stop it? You know, in fact, it didn't help you at all. You have to drink. You know, there are some here, and your husband has been drinking water. Clarify. Your husband has been coming to the right source. He's been able to come into the Spirit of God, and he's walking with the Lord. Now, he's not perfect, but he's growing and he's taking steps. But that doesn't mean that you're spirit filled. There's some in here, it's your parents. Maybe it is your mom. She is just latching on unto the truths of revival and the spirit-filled life, and she's been drinking at the right source and having that water fill her, and you could tell that. That doesn't mean, teenager and young person, that you're filled with the Spirit, but you can be, and you should be, and you will be tonight if you just trust him and drink. This is taking and appropriating not only the truth of God's word, but literally saying, dear God, I'm depending upon your Spirit to help me. As you drink from him, then you have that source. Then you have the life-giving oxygen, life-giving water, that is, that helps you. Will you drink? There's others around you. There may be deacons in the church, or there's others that are on fire for the Lord, and you hear them talk and give a testimony, and something's just like, nah. You can't resonate with it. God's not doing that same life-changing work in you. It's because you've been hearing them talk about the water bottle all the time, and it might be sitting right there in your lap, but you're not drinking. You need to depend upon the Spirit of God to help you. You see, you may know facts, but you need to be actively depending upon the Spirit of God, resting in him in those truths to fill you now. I remember there was a time when I was going through a lot of stress in our ministry and in my life, and I didn't realize at this time why I was having these headaches. I had this headache in the back of my head, and it was all day long, and I tried to just grind it out, you know, and I finally had to take some aspirin or Tylenol or Advil or something, but it didn't touch it. I mean, it was still intense. Second day, headache all day long. Third day, I mean, I could hardly sleep. Every time I would wake up, I could feel the pain. And it was intense headache. And people saying, give me all kinds of advice. You need more caffeine. You need to stay off caffeine. You need this. You need that. You know, all of these different things. And you need to take these vitamins and stay away from vitamins. I'm like, oh, getting all this advice about all these different things. And, you know, it's a whole week goes by and I have this headache. I mean, even like the strong whatever, pain relievers, it would dull it, but it was always there. I'd never had this before. And I thought, well, I do have back problems. I've got some arthritis and some neck issues and stuff. And so I probably need to be able to, you know, go to a chiropractor, you know, and snap, crackle, pop, and then I'll go out and I'll be all set. And so I go to a chiropractor in Michigan. And as I do so, he says, so I see you on the list, you have headaches. I said, yes, I do. And I said, probably with the neck and issues and whatever. And he goes, well, tell me what's going on. Well, headaches. Well, tell me about your schedule. Schedule? Well, I've been preaching every day. Well, what else? Well, preaching 2 or 3 times a day because I had chapels and all these things and evening services. And What else? Well, when we're not, I'm not preaching, there's a lot of repairs on the trailer, so I'm under the trailer, I'm working on this and doing that, and we're not doing that, I'm going visiting with the pastor, and you know, it's been pretty intense, I guess, the last few weeks. He said, okay, I see what the problem is, it's stress. I said, no, I don't think it's stress. And he said, no, tell him a little bit more. I told him a little bit more, which is the wrong thing to do. And because he said, no, yeah, it's stress. He said, I said, no, it's not stress. He said, yes, it's stress. I said, it's not stress. I said, it's not stress. And then he said, you know, stress and not dealing with it properly is sin. I go, wait a minute. Who's the doctor and who's the preacher, you know? And he just happened to be an independent Baptist chiropractor from R.B. Willett's church in Michigan. And he started then the next few minutes to tell me about the Spirit-filled life. Can I tell you this? None of what he said was brand new to me. But the Spirit of God said, Chris Miller, you be quiet and you listen, because you may know some of these things, but you are not depending upon me right now for them. And everything he had to say was exactly what was needed for me. And oftentimes, we don't realize all the stress or all the different difficulties in our life, and all these things are just revealing that we're not actively depending upon the Spirit of God like we ought to. Others around you are taking drinks from the Spirit of God. Sir, why don't you? Ma'am, why don't you? Young person, why don't you? You have to do so personally. Not only does he give us this invitation, the invitations for the power of the Holy Spirit, but the results of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does he say? It says in verse 38, it says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice the direction, out of his belly, from the inside out. The Spirit of God is changing us and working from us into the lives of others. The direction in our Christian life is never this way. It's not, oh, I'm going through life and I see what I can get. Isn't that interesting how God just brings up this same type of theme in Sunday school, in the morning service yesterday? Our lives isn't all around us. It's not about what I can make me more comfortable or me happier. And we go through, if we're just going through, I need to make more money. I need to do this. You know, I have seen it even here lately. When you go through and you say, dear God, I will give either financially or I will give of myself, that sowing does come back in reaping. And you can trust God. And the fulfillment of your life and the satisfaction of your life doesn't come through going through life looking and pursuing happiness. You want to be miserable? Pursue happiness. Try to be happy. There are so many millionaires, there are so many movie stars, there are so many professional athletes, and they're going through divorce, and they're going through depression, and they're on drugs, and they are depressed with all of these different addictions and things, and they're not finding an answer. But tonight, you have an answer, and out of your belly shall flow from you, and it should be a direction, and here is an overflow. You know, it's an overflow. The Nile River every year would overflow, and at harvest, and that harvest around that Egypt area would need that overflow to be able to provide for it. I think of Romans chapter 5, where the Bible says this, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That love of God is shed abroad. And that means it's just like dumped on, where it's overflowing. Here is an outpouring of the Spirit of God and His love. That love that covers all the deep places. Whenever we had a flood growing up, it would cover the ditches. And it would come in the basement. And we would be taking out buckets of water and trying to empty the basement. It would flow, overflow, and cover all the low spots and all the rough spots. Here is an overflow, a flood of God's love to others. The flow should be from you to others. And you should experience, be able to experience what God wants to do in and through your life. You know, I used to illustrate simply the matter of being filled with the Spirit of like a water bottle. I need to empty my life of self, and Lord, would you fill me? I present myself to yield myself to be filled. And that's an okay illustration. I don't think it's adequate. I don't think it's quite as accurate, because you and I don't have a capacity where I'm filled, I go away from my source, and I can be able to drink. Oh, I'm empty now, and I come back to the source. No. We're not like a device that has a battery. This has a good battery right now, but when it goes down, I go plug it in. And then, okay, it's up enough. I can then unplug it from the source, and then I can go away, and it has a capacity and a battery of its own. You don't have that. Do you realize that? We have to be constantly connected. We're not a water bottle, but we are a water hose. And this water hose is a special water hose. It's a water hose that was crushed by a church in Ohio by their church bus. On this end, it got crushed. You see how it's flat there? I went to the trailer. I turned on the water, the faucet. You know what? Nothing came out, because the source was all broken. It was taken off. It was stopped. And because of that, it wouldn't flow through. But as long as I'm connected to the source, then I can have the water flow through. You see, this is what we are. We're a channel. We need an inflow. That's the source, abiding. That is depending upon the Spirit of God to inflow from us, fill us, and then we need an outflow. If we stop this end, we stop personal revival. If we stop this end, we stop personal revival. That's why there needs to be an outflow of love to others. We are made to serve, and we cannot serve God without serving people. And here it is. We're just a channel of God's life, His love, His Spirit to flow through us, to flow to the lives of others. But I had this idea and this thought in my mind as I was beginning to really come into the filling of the Spirit in a greater way experientially. I was really experiencing more so in the fullness of the Spirit, victory, and God was working and helping us to see people saved. And just you could really sense God was using. And I thought, wow, could I experience the fullness of the Spirit every day? As long as you can keep connected to the source. How many here have ever been to Niagara Falls? Been to Niagara Falls? Okay, a number of you. And if you go there, you see the American Falls and the Bridal Veil, I think it is, Falls. There's the smaller end of things. It's still very impressive. But then you can see the Horseshoe Falls, and the best view is from the Canadian side. So we stayed the night on the Canadian side for our 20th anniversary, and we're over on the other side, and we're looking at the Horseshoe Falls. And we take a tour, we go down the elevator, the worker says, okay, when we get off, go to the right and go through that tunnel. The one on the left collapsed. I said, thank you, I didn't need to know that. And so we go through there, we go through the tunnel, and then you could see through, you know, the concrete is carved out and everything, and you could see the water flowing. I mean, just, I don't know, 15 feet or so away. Of course, they bring it back so you can't get close, but I thought, wow, what if I got closer and closer and I could put out my water bottle? Would there be enough water to fill my water bottle? Yeah. Well, if I would have done that, no more water bottle, no more arm. You know, it's a powerful force that's coming down. But would there be enough water in Niagara Falls to flow through my water hose every day? Yes, every day. So, you know, but how many times have we become disconnected from the source and we're trying to do things, we're trying to water our plants? Now, wouldn't that be silly if you had a hose that wasn't connected to your house and you go out and you're watering your plants? Just need to be faithful. I go out there, yes, sir, I'm faithful, watering my plants. Neighbors go by, you're waving. Yeah, I told you those church people were weird. You know, you're waving, you know, you got this. And you go, man, why can't it work? Why aren't these growing? I'm trying to help people. These dumb kids, bunch of brats, you know, teenagers. Oh, man, these family members are so difficult. You know, oh, it's because you're empty. That's how you're trying to serve. You have nothing to offer if you're not filled with the Spirit. But we need to be connected to Niagara Falls. And if we did so, then we'd have enough power. You connect Niagara Falls on the other side and those flowers are gone. You know, it's enough every day. How much water dumps over Niagara Falls? Seven in the height of its season, 750,000 gallons of water dump over the edge of Niagara Falls. Every day, no. 750,000 gallons of water dumps over Niagara Falls every hour. No. 750,000 gallons of water dumps over Niagara Falls every minute. No. And the height of the season, when it is flowing full, 750,000 gallons of water every second. That is the power. That is the quantity. That is what God can do in and through us. And we're saying, Lord, help me with this little bitty thing. He wants to flow rivers through you. If you just say, dear God, help. I am not thirsting like I ought to. I desire other things instead of the Spirit of God's and His power in and through my life. Dear God, would you help me? I need to draw nigh to you, the right source. I've been going to other things and other places and online too much and too much media. God, help me. I need to depend. I need to drink. And I know if I do so, I can come thirsty. Then I could be filled. And out of my belly, from my life, can flow rivers of living water every day. May God help us to do that. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please, Lord, help us to just yield and respond to you, I ask. Do your work in our hearts and our lives. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, let me ask this evening this question here. First of all, if you're here and you say, Brother Miller, there's one thing I know for sure is I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. If you know that, can you slip your hand up and say, that's me, I know for sure. I have trusted Jesus. I am saved. That's wonderful. You can place your hands down. Is there anyone here that says, I've never trusted Jesus? I don't know if I died, if I go to heaven. Anyone like that very quickly? Anyone like that? I don't know if there's someone that doesn't know for sure that they're on their way to heaven or has not trusted Christ. We want to help you and pray for you. If that's true for you, you can raise your hand right where you are and we'll pray for you. Anyone like that? Okay, let me ask next. Who here would say, Brother Miller, God spoke in my heart as a Christian and I need a desire to be filled with the Spirit. I desire so many other things, worldly things. God spoke unto me about desiring to be filled with the Spirit and having the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand throughout the room? God bless you. You can place your hands down. Let me ask, who here would say, Brother Miller, you know, I've been going to the wrong source, and I haven't been drawn nigh to God and to the right source, and I let worldliness and wrong thinking and wrong counsel come in, whatever the case is, and God's spoken to me about that. If that's true for you, would you slip your hand up? God bless you. Good. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's excellent. Who here would say, Brother Miller, what I need to do is I need to drink. I need to depend upon the Spirit personally for me. I see others being helped. I see others revived. But God's spoken to me as a man, as a lady, as a young person. I need to depend upon the Spirit to fill me, and I want to do so right now. If that's true for you, can you raise your hand? God bless you. Praise the Lord. So many. You can place your hands down. Would you look this way? We're going to do like we've done in the other services. In a moment, we'll stand. I'll pray. And after I pray, I'll have the pianist play. Would you, after that prayer, find a place and seek the Lord and kneel or sit and pray and ask the Lord to help you in these decisions and say, dear God, flow through me your life and your love and your power to be able to impact others. Let's do so. Everyone standing, let's bow for prayer. Father, we need you. We need you desperately. And Lord, we just bow before you and humble ourselves as Pastor prayed even earlier in the service. And Lord, we acknowledge we need you desperately. Lord, help us to desire and help us to draw nigh to you and help us to depend upon you and to drink ourselves personally. So Lord, would you channel through us what only you can do and help us to be able to make an impact on others. Father, I pray for your help with each one that raised their hand right now, with their heads bowed, with their eyes closed. God's spoken to you. You raised your hand. Would you step out and pray about that as the pianist plays? Would you find a place and just kneel or have a seat and just ask the Lord to help? God bless you. Praise the Lord. Say, Lord, I need to desire the Spirit of God's power in a greater way. I need to depend upon the Spirit of God. I need to draw nigh. Lord, help me. Lord, you channel through me.